Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John with another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details will be found at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax, and let me tell you the story of how Timberline Lodge, you know Timberline Lodge, that beautiful, iconic thing that was featured in The Shining, gorgeous piece of New Deal architecture, how close it came to becoming a 9-story skyscraper with an aerial tramway, mixed steel and glass structure on the side of the mountain. Wouldn't have looked out of place at all, would it? Let me tell you the story. It was first published on January 3rd, 2010. Timberline Lodge on the side of Mount Hood is almost an icon of the Portland area. Its rustic WPA-financed design and construction strike most visitors as a good fit for the state's general reputation for woodsy civility. But had it not been for a particularly persnickety U.S. Forest Service manager, Timberline might have ended up looking a lot different. How different? Think Bauhaus School of Architectural Design different. With 9 stories of concrete and glass and a cable car tramway. The whole thing had its roots in the early 1920s when cars started bringing large numbers of people out to the mountain on the freshly built Mount Hood Scenic Loop. There was a hotel on the mountain, the tiny Cloud Cap Inn, built in 1889, but it was woefully inadequate to the demand. Business people in Portland started seeing the potential in having a mountain so close. By developing it, they could generate a bunch of money from tourism. But to a group of locals who had the requisite magic combination of money and health and leisure to enjoy the mountain, this was not a welcome development. They preferred to keep the mountain as it was, a quiet, magical place of solitude and wildness. They worried that it would be turned into a sort of alpine Coney Island, fears that, as they soon learned, were not entirely groundless. Ha, the businessman reported. You just want to keep it as your own personal rich person playground. Well, this debate got more heated as the 1920s wore on, until a businessman named L.L. Wyler, as part of a committee, came forward with an $800,000 plan to develop the mountain with a hotel, resort, gas station, and, yes, cable tram car. The Mazama Club, a local mountaineers organization open only to those who had been on top of Mount Hood's summit, geared up for battle. But it was over before they knew it. To the surprise of almost everyone on both sides, the Forest Service District Forester, W.B. Greeley, turned the project down flat. He called it a profit-making eyesore. We've gotten used to hearing comments like that from New Dealers after Franklin Roosevelt was elected, profit-making eyesore, but you have to understand, this chap was part of the administration of either Calvin Coolidge or Herbert Hoover. From Hoover, you could sort of expect this sort of an attitude because he was a bit of an environmentalist, but Coolidge was all business. Neither one of those guys was this really in character. Wyler's outfit refined the plan into that 9-story skyscraper that I mentioned above, still involving a tram, and went over Greeley's head with it. This time, the plan was turned down specifically because of the design, which seemed inappropriate. By the time the Forest Service greenlighted a more rustic plan for the lodge, it was 1929 and Hoover was president, the country was sliding into the Depression, and the Portland businessmen had become unwilling to take on financial obligations. But some important issues had been settled. Yes, development on the mountain could go forward, but it would have to respect the mountain. And there matters stood until 1935, when the WPA approved the Mount Hood Development Association's application for a 300-bed hotel to the tune of $275,513 and got construction started the following year. It's an interesting number, $275,513. It's one-third of the amount of money that Wyler's people wanted to spend developing the concrete and glass and cable car and all that kind of stuff. And yet, look at Timberline Lodge. Look what they got for 275 bills. Well, when the place was finished, the government invited the King of Norway to come demonstrate the wild new sport of skiing. They needn't have bothered. Plenty of Oregonians of Scandinavian and Swiss descent were able and eager to show the way on that. Perhaps the most enduring symbol of Timberline is the 750-pound bronze weather vane, crafted in a sort of abstract primitive design suggesting a bird. Most people assume it's a Native American design, and perhaps it is. But the workers who built it actually cribbed the design from a campfire girl's handbook. Well, that's it for today's episode. And if you've been listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. You'll find about 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and links out to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to join the conversation online. The website is also where you'll find the full citations to sources for this story, which for today's episode include books by Judith Rose and William L. Sullivan. All these columns are covered under Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details are at offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra, atlasstringband.com. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. That's it for today, so thanks for listening, and have a great day.